Good morning and welcome to you on this Sunday, the 6th of September 2020. If you're not with us here in person in the chapel this morning, we're very glad that you can join in through the webpage. Today we're thinking about the faith of the Syrophoenician woman. It's found in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28, and also in Mark 7, 24 to 30. Well, let's bow and pray as we come to God's word. Father God, we thank you again that we are able to come and receive from you and to learn from you and to respond in faith and love for you. Help us in these things, Lord. Speak to our hearts afresh today, we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever been in a baking hot, dry desert. Imagine you're struggling for survival. You're desperately thirsty, with swollen lips and parched mouth. You're staggering along on your last breath. The desert is Nevada's Amargosa Desert. You're on a very long and seldom used trail when you come across an old pump. And in a baking powder can wired to the handle is a piece of paper offering the only hope of drinking water. It reads, "This pump works, but the washer dries out and the pump has got to be primed." Under the white rock is buried a bottle of water. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink some first. Pour about 1/4 and let her soak to wet the leather. Then pour in the rest medium fast and pump like crazy. You'll get water. The well has never run dry. Have faith. The instructions continue. When you get watered up, fill the bottle and put it back like you found it for the next fellow. Signed, Pete. P.S. Don't go drinking the water first. Well, what would you do? Would you drink the bottle? Or would you do what the instructions say? Short term or long term is perhaps another way of looking at it. Well, today we're looking at faith, the signs of genuine faith, and asking the question, is your faith genuine faith? And as I said earlier, today's passage is found in Matthew 15, and that's the one we're going to be thinking about. And it starts with the phrase, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon." So first, some basic questions to answer. Where was it that Jesus and his disciples went to? Well, we have a map, and on the map, you can see that they went northwest towards the two coastal cities. However, Jesus said, didn't he, "I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel." Jesus never went out of Israel. Jesus went, we're told, into the vicinity of that area. In other words, he went to the borders of Israel. So what about this woman? Who was she? Well, she has no name. She, we're told, is a Canaanite woman from that vicinity. The original inhabitants from the coastal region of Palestine were the Canaanites or Phoenicians, and we're told that this woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. And those Phoenicians were the ancient seafaring peoples, and they stretched along the southeastern Mediterranean coast. And this lady, we're told, is a Syrian Phoenician, as opposed to the Libyan Phoenician or Carthaginian. What is the significance of that? Canaan and the whole area were notoriously godless and pagan, and they worshipped idols and false gods. And it is here that the woman is born and brought up. So, here there's no prophet of God, there's no word of God. Everyone is making their own way in life, making the most of it, without any reference to God. A bit like the UK today. A sign the other day said, "All we have is each other." The UK has again and again chosen to turn its back on God and systematically removed God's good laws. And the result? A huge increase in evil behaviour with all its miserable consequences. The worst result is that God's word has become rare and God's voice rarely heard. God speaks less and less. And so millions live without hope and without God in this world. So this woman, like them, had everything against her. She was far from God. So one might ask the question, how did she know about the God of the Bible and about Jesus? How did anyone know about the God of Israel who lived outside of Israel? Well, certainly the news would have spread and spread quickly, right from the days that God took Israel out of Egypt. And that was such a demonstration of the miraculous power that God showed then that the neighboring nations heard of it. Balak, king of Moab, shook in fear when he heard of what God, the God of Israel, had done. And when Joshua took over from Moses, Rahab in Jericho said that we're all in fear, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and how they defeated the neighboring kings. And when all the kings heard about these things, those in the hill country, in the western foothills, and along the entire coast of the Great Sea, as far as Lebanon, the kings of, and then it gives a number of countries, including the Canaanites, they came together to make war against Joshua and Israel. So the surrounding nations watched all the way through the reigns of the kings, King David, King Solomon, right up to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. Now, in recent times, there were rumours of a promised Messiah, that he had finally come, the one who would perform miraculous signs. However, maybe there was one lasting local tradition that still had people talking, and that was a woman whose son was brought back to life many years ago. And it had happened right here in their midst, in Zarephath. Again, have a look at the map. Right there between the cities of Tyre and Sidon. Here Elijah had raised a boy to life. And when you read the passage in 1 Kings 17, what is the main point of that account? Faith. Faith. And when she told Elijah that she had just enough flour and oil for one meal before she died, Elijah said, take that bread and oil and make a cake for me, and then the Lord will give you all you need. What does it say next? She went away and did as Elijah had told her. That is faith. The whole point of the episode is to show her faith. And so Jesus commends this woman for her faith. You have great faith, which is perhaps the key verse, verse 28. Well, what are the signs of genuine faith? Well, here are some of the things it is certainly not. Faith is not a substance. The AV translation talks about the substance of things. Now, faith is not something in and of itself. Nor is faith like polyfiller, you know, to fill in the gaps, those areas that you're ignorant of, you know, that's where faith takes over. No. Nor is faith a leap into the dark. Nor is it a feeling. Nor is it something you kind of keep away in the medicine chest and quickly turn to in an emergency to help you through those unexpected accidents or situations. No. Faith is in me, but looks to an object outside of me. It could look to me, and many have faith in themselves. And you even hear people pray to themselves. They say they pray to themselves. The object of this woman's faith is Jesus Christ. She knows who he is, and she trusts in what he can do. I'll say that again. She knows who he is, and she trusts in what he can do. To know the truth about who Jesus is, but not to trust him, is to leave your knowledge as purely head knowledge. And that is completely useless. It's a bit like knowing which pills to take to save your life, but never taking them, just leaving them up in the medicine chest. No, faith is more than mental assent. It is personal trust, personal commitment, and personal reliance. Conversely, to trust someone you don't know is foolhardy. How do you know whether he or she can help or has the power to do anything? I mean, that's how con artists work, isn't it? And I'm sad to say I've been caught out with this with our bank account. Perhaps you as well. We act because we trust. And that's how they work. They want us to trust them. for bad, of course. Well, this woman calls him the son of David. She, like the blind man sitting by the gate of Jericho, can see who Jesus really is. He is the one promised. He is the one all the prophets point to. Notice she calls him Lord three times. Ah, you say, Jesus warned us about those who say, Lord, Lord, and it means nothing. Well, let's see what it means to her. Genuine faith acts. Genuine faith does something. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, she came and fell at his feet. So faith acts. It does something on the basis of what you know. No faith, no action. You know, if I say to you, your wheel looks like it's a bit loose on the car, you'll do something straight and go and have a look at it. Or if I say, you've left your keys in the front door, you're there like a shot. You see, this woman acted on her belief. She had a great need. She knows who it is who can do something about it. And she does something. She comes to him. The woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. So there's the action. Genuine faith, as James reminds us, is shown to be genuine because it results in action. Faith and works should travel side by side, step answering to step, like the legs of men walking. First faith, then works, then faith, then works, until they can scarcely distinguish which is one and which is the other, said William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. So do you say that you believe that Jesus is Lord, that he is indeed God come in the flesh, that he died for sin and rose from the grave? Then that must change things. To affirm the truth of that in your mind must equal repenting of sins, trusting Christ for your new life, now your health, finances, but also for eternity. And do you declare him Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord? If so, it'll show that the kingdom of God is your burning priority in your life, and that you leave all those other things which are important to him to sort out as he promised to. Well, just before this passage, there's the run-in with the Pharisees. And they were hypocrites. Their faith in God was a pretense. And so here's the contrast. Here Jesus is saying, don't be like them, you know, all polished on the outside, but still unchanged on the inside. And straight after this episode is the healing at Bethsaida with its faithless inhabitants who had all the evidence of the miracles but did nothing about it. Paul reminds us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, to be saved you must also believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. In other words, that all God's purposes are found in him. Jesus said, if you love me, it will show that you follow my commands. That is, that you will live a life of love and trust and holiness. Jesus wants to show the disciples the genuineness of her faith. So he puts her off. You know, hinder someone in something and then you can see their true heart, right? For example, you stand in a bus queue. When the bus comes, you try and stop somebody from getting on and you'll soon see how determined they are. You'll end up in a ruck. We live in a time when it's harder to do the things that we normally do. With the COVID pandemic, it's been a sifting time for many, including Christians. Keeping up the disciplines of Bible study and prayer when no one is watching. Being away from the church and not having to join in. It's quite easy just not to bother. And now churches are opening, there are a number who prefer to stay at home. Why? Is it protection against the virus? It's a test of our hearts, isn't it? Some attenders here who profess faith, where are they? They're nowhere open. Why are they not in touch? They don't have to, so will they? It's a test of their profession of faith. A member of the body of Christ sees the importance of being with other members, but those who aren't, won't. When the woman burdened in her heart came to Jesus, he didn't say a word. The disciples put her off. Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Send her away. Our job is to try and lead people to Christ, isn't it? We bring them to church to hear the word of God. We do Bible studies, urging them to listen and respond. But how often is it one step forward and one step back? How often does nothing come of it? And the reason? There's no inner change. There's no inner spur. There's no evidence of the working of the Holy Spirit like a fire in that person's heart. No genuine faith. But those who have it, you can't keep them away. They're not too busy. They don't make excuses about appointments or workmen or visits or children and so on. And if you really want something, you'll find a way. As the phrase goes, where there's a will, there's a way. And I remember years ago having little money, but a very thirsty 6-litre American car that in those days I loved very much. I always found money for petrol. Don't know how, but I did. I made it happen, even if it meant having beans on toast all week. It's exactly the same when it comes to serving Christ. I remember one mission with a church, I think it was in Northampton. We joined the church for a week, and it's often a challenge for those in the church to see who will come and share in the work. And it was a young mum with a toddler who was always there for everything throughout the week. And the little boy just crawled around as we had our prayer meetings or whatever we did. You see, there's no need to push and cajole those who love Christ. They will come, rain or shine, they'll be there, waiting early by the door, eager. That's a demonstration of genuine faith. When Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel," did the woman go off thinking, well, maybe I was wrong, maybe it's not for me, actually? No. The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. Mark adds, she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Well, that's genuine faith. Genuine faith does not give up, it pushes and persists. And help is a good word. Help means I'm not able. I need help. Help means I'm not worthy. Be merciful. Lord, help me. For true, genuine faith is humble. Jesus said, didn't he? Verse 26, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." A dog. They're not cuddly pets as we often see them. No, dogs were untamed, dirty and wild. To call someone a dog was an insult. It still is an insult. That's what the Jews, aloof and rude, call the Gentiles. Dogs. Dogs. The woman's response, verse 27, "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." What a humble response. She's willing to own the title of being a dog. It reminds me of Mephibosheth. Years ago, that grandson of King Saul, Jonathan's son, who bowed down before King David and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Quite. What did Mephibosheth have to bring? Nothing. He was a cripple, summoned from Lodibar on the edge of Israel, far away, a bit like this woman, and from a defeated household, he expected nothing but death. But David, like Jesus, extended to him undeserved grace. And it says he spent the rest of his days eating at the king's table. "Yes, Lord," she said. "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." So this lady, in her heart, she is down on her knees. "I will take any drops of grace, like those scavenging dogs. I'll be glad of anything. I'll be glad of anything." And so she receives. Genuine faith receives. The widow, all those years before, trusted Elijah, the man of God. She trusted his God, and the result of her faith, well, there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. So too, this Syrophoenician woman, "You have great faith." And then Jesus told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. If you come to Christ believing that he is who he says he is and trusting him alone, you too will receive. You will receive. This is the Jesus who said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Faith is to believe, and the reward of faith is to receive what you believe. So two concluding points. Firstly, God desires that you find him. And secondly, he comes to get you. Was she the first heathen convert to Christ? The first in a long line of many? God's desire has always been that those from the farthest ends of the world will be included. He wants you and I, a long way from Israel, many centuries later, to be included. And Christ died for the sins of people from across the whole world. And that cross is sufficient to clear away the sins of anybody who will come. Anybody, whatever we've done, whoever we are, there's nothing that can stop Christ's forgiveness for all who will come to him. And so saving faith, genuine faith, is the gift from God. And you receive it when you obey the gospel and turn to Christ from your sins. And you do that, he will give you faith. What a great gift. So in the sea of unbelief, God has his people. In the midst of darkness, there are pockets of light. Can you think of some? How about Ruth, Naomi and Boaz in the dark days of the Judges? Or the remaining exiles, when many had returned to Jerusalem, the end of the exile, there they are scattered across Babylonia. There you find Mordecai and Esther. And you. Is that you? Is that you? How you feel, surrounded by unbelief and those who have no love for God? Yes, even in your own home. This woman, surrounded by those who didn't believe as she does, she goes against the prevailing view. She makes up her own mind. This is not general belief. No, this is her personal living faith in her Lord. Okay, if I'm the only one. Okay, if it's the only one in the family. I'm going to continue with my faith. I'm sticking with Jesus, for I know he will stick with me. Jesus is so very, very trustworthy. This lady, who has no name, is a story of unlikely faith from an unlikely place. There you see, it is possible. She did, and so you can. Faith in Christ means you can. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Not only does God desire to come to faith, he comes to get you. Zarephath is mentioned once in the New Testament by Jesus at Nazareth in Luke chapter 4, who said, "There were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon." And why does he say that? The Lord sent Elijah there. Again, have a look at the map. Elijah, who was at the Kerith Ravine, goes all the way to the one place far up on the northwest. And why? Because God has his person there, this widow. So too, Jesus, with his disciples, journeyed a considerable distance to Zarephath. And why? Because God has his person there. And Jesus went there to show us. This woman is commended for her faith. But it's the working of God by his Spirit. Jesus said, "The wind blows where it will, so also the Spirit of God." And we don't know to whom he will go. But we can see the evidence of it. And Jesus said, didn't he, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." And there's the evidence. There's the inner call. Do you know it? When Christ prompted Cannon Street Memorial Church in Handsworth nearly 200 years ago to plant a church in Kings Norton, it's because God prompted them, because he has his people here in this area. And so today Jesus searches out the lost in Kings Norton. And why has he brought you here? To hear the word of God? Because he's calling you to trust in him. Will we see the evidence of genuine faith living in you, as was so evident in this woman? A humble faith, a persistent faith, a receiving faith, genuine faith that shows. Well, Martin Luther, I conclude with this. "God our Father has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing." Amen.